Hi guys, just a reminder that this podcast, as well as many of my online resources, is delivered freely. If you would like to help me get this message of healing out to millions of people around the world, please consider clicking on the donate button on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Thank you. Hello, my loves. How are you guys today? This is Nicole Sachs, and welcome to my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain. Here we are. It's another week in your life, and you're living it, and so am I, and here we are. Hi, guys. So today I have the most awesome success story. I think I said this at one point in the recording that I had permigrin. My face hurt from smiling after certain parts of this interview because Anne's story just brought me so much joy. She obviously has a great love for this work, and it has brought her through some really, really difficult times. And so I'm just excited to share the interview with you. Everyone loves success story. It's just so heartwarming and so life-affirming that we can go from such disempowerment to such empowerment, just to such loving life and traveling and being in our joy. And that is what I see in Anne's life. So I'm thrilled to share that with you. In terms of just very brief housekeeping notes, if you're looking to work with me, I just want to remind you there are several options. All of them are located, linked to my resources tab on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Click the resources tab. I'm doing an evening at Omega, a virtual Omega evening with Caroline Dewey. And that's going to be, I believe, on May 11th. It's click the link in my bio from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. That will be just Caroline and I giving sort of a preview of some of the teachings that will be happening at Omega. And if you do want to come and study with me and learn and have community and spend a week in an adult summer camp, which is what Omega feels like, that's August 1st through the 6th. It's also linked to my resources tab and my online retreat. For those of you all around the world who can't make it to Omega, is May 21st through the 23rd. And your retreat ticket includes the Cure for Chronic Pain online course and my 4 original meditations. So all of that is available to you. All right, my friends, there's really not much else to say. This interview speaks for itself. Anne is a member of my online Facebook community called Journal Speak with Nicole Sachs. She made a post there, and I just read her post, and I was like, girl, you have to come on the podcast. Your story is incredible, and it did not disappoint. So enjoy it, and I hope it brings a little light and a little joy to your day and inspires you that the journey is long. The journey is hard. It includes many different ways that mind-body issues show up in our systems, but it is absolutely possible, and Anne is a shining example of that. All right, so without further ado, I give you my interview with the beautiful success of Anne. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the pod. Today, I am interviewing Anne on her journey. Welcome, Anne.
Thank you, Nicole. It's great to be here.
So you guys, a lot of times what happens for me is I get an email from someone or someone makes a comment on my Facebook page or someone DMs me on Instagram and their story just lights me up because I know that other people need to hear it. And that's what happened with Anne. And I just said, hey, would you be willing to come on the podcast? And she said, yes. So I'm so excited just to chat and to hang out and to hear your story in detail because this kind of stuff really makes me happy. Just on a selfish note, I work so hard doing this stuff. And when someone gets it and really transforms their life, it's just so sweet for me. So, Anne, wherever you want to start, let's just hear your story.
Okay, great. And I did post on your Facebook page a success that I had, and it was so gratifying, all the people that commented, and it was really sweet for everybody to comment on there. In July of 2017, I had an acute back event, I at the time I said my back went out. We know now that backs don't go out.
Right.
But that's how I referred to it then. And it really is very descriptive of how it feels to have these events, because I completely could not walk. I was in bed. I woke up and out of the blue, just could not get out of bed. I was paralyzed from the low back down, could not move my legs. I thought I was going to have to get the fire department to get me out to go to the bathroom. So, and I had had back issues off and on all my life, but it never had completely left me where I could not move. I had been in pain moving, but I had never been, you know, paralyzed. Naturally, I felt terrified.
Of course.
What have I done? How did this happen? I felt completely betrayed by my body. Later, I'll tell you the long list of other betrayals. but this was the latest betrayal, and it was, it was complete. I was really stuck. So this started a year-long process, again, of doctors, meds, chiropractors, physical therapy, different chiropractors. I even went to this chiropractor to the stars kind of a person. He does the Atlanta Braves. I live in Atlanta, and he does the Atlanta Braves. And so, let's go to the very tip-top person and see what they can do. And, the back pain, I was obviously able to get out of bed. I was obviously able to walk around, do my life, but it never subsided. It was always there. It was low back, and it was always, always there, a constant reminder during that whole year. And then in July of 2018, I was reaching to unplug something, and guess what? Same thing. Cannot move, just fell to my knees, stuck again. I'm like, oh my God, here we are.
It's terrifying.
All the work I had done the past year, I felt like was out the window, because I was back to the beginning. And I thought, though, why July? What is it about July? Because here we are, July again.
Right.
And so this was the real blessing in that, because it got me thinking, was there something emotionally happening to me in July? And so I Googled, love Google, right? Because you're laying there in bed, you got nothing better to do. So you Google back pain with emotional cause. And I had never considered that before. In fact, I had rejected that anytime anyone brought up it was stress. But in July of 2018, I finally considered it. And up came Dr. Sarno, Steve Ozanich, and Nicole Sacks. So I started to read all of those great healers about TMS, about just the possibility. And I think because I knew that I was going through emotional issues, and I had the July before, and I was doing it again this July. It was the anniversary of several emotional issues for me. I was open to the fact that perhaps emotions might have something to do with my pain. And so I started to dive in. The thing that resonated the most with me in the initial was the list of personality traits.
Right. It's such a big one.
It really was. And I didn't identify with, interestingly, now when I look at that list, I know that I am all of them. But I was so out of touch with myself at that time that I only identified with some, but I identified it very strongly with those couple. And the goodest.
Which ones were those, Anne?
The goodest was absolutely at the top of my list.
Yes.
I consider myself a good person. I want to be a good person. I want to think of myself as a good person. And sense of responsibility. I have a tremendous sense of responsibility. I considered it my driving force in my work.
Right.
It wasn't, we all are motivated by different things. Some people buy a promotion, some people buy money. I was motivated by more and more responsibility. So those sort of two things, I did not consider myself a sensitive person. I did not consider myself a perfectionist. I did not consider myself to have any anxiety, which is
at the time. Right.
Now it's laughable. I mean, the reason I didn't consider myself a perfectionist is because I knew that was a fault.
Interesting. So you're such a perfectionist, you can't even consider yourself a perfectionist.
Correct. So hilarious. Yes, type T in all of the ways. So there we go. When I started to read a little more about what other symptoms might be coming up if you have this TMS tendency, I realized that, wow, I had a whole laundry list of symptoms. And I had always considered my body to be strange or to be failing me in different ways. And I all of a sudden had an answer to all of that.
So when you say strange, give us a list, a bit of that laundry list, so people can relate in to what you're saying.
I sure will. And I'm going to go fast through it because I hate to dwell on diagnoses, but I know that it's important for folks to recognize themselves, that it's not just back pain. So
yeah. And before you do, I'll just reiterate, because you're bringing up an important point, is that the diagnosis is something that people can really attach to and allow it to create a lot of fear and meaning in their lives, which is why I know you're saying that you don't want to spend too much time with it. So for anyone out there who's struggling with any of the stuff that Anne is discussing or will discuss, just understand it's important because we're connecting with how it is manifesting through your body, but that's where the importance ends, because one person's migraines are another person's fibro or another person's back pain or another person's IBS. It's just the ways in which this mind-body issue is enacting itself through your body. But anyway, this is the way it enacted itself for Anne.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Thank you. And yes. Exactly. When I was young, I had growing pains. And when I was 12, my mother was told that I had scoliosis by a woman at the pool. She's pointing to me. I'm young. I'm 12. I'm having fun at the pool. And this woman is pointing to me going, look at your daughter. Look at her waist. It dips in differently on one side than the other. Look at her leg lengths. They're different. She has scoliosis. You've got to do something about it. So immediately after that, I started having growing pains.
God.
All through my 20s, I had back pain on and off. Every time I went to a doctor, they told me scoliosis was the problem. And I do have curvature of the spine, not the problem of my pain, but I do have curvature.
Which is a normal abnormality. What people need to, similar to my spondylolisthesis, it means that your spine looks different than my spine, and we both look different than the skeleton in health class, but it doesn't cause pain.
Right. I didn't know that, but yes, I do now. Acne into adulthood. In my 30s, I had two children and I had a lot of stomach pain afterwards. One of the doctors told me it was because I was taking too much aspirin and Advil for my back pain. But even after I stopped taking, over-the-counter meds, I still had the stomach pain. In my 40s, I was diagnosed with a whole host of things. It's so sad. Fibromyalgia, chronic Lyme, TMJ, benign positional vertigo, L4, L5 compression, bulging discs, leg length discrepancy. I had migraines.
You check all the boxes.
It's so fun. Hashimoto's disease, adrenal fatigue. I went through this bizarre time where I smelled smoke. This was one of the more weird symptoms that I've had. Even though there was no smoke around, I would just smell smoke. And my very favorite diagnosis was not enough fatty deposits on the bottom of the heel of my foot. So I always put that one last because it's hilarious.
I just want to tell you as I'm listening to you, what I feel is just such a tremendous amount of compassion and then like a desperate urgency to get this message out there, because of course anybody would be scared shitless from that list.
Right. It was definitely, of course we're talking 35 to 55 here, because I'm 58 now. So a good 20 years of one doctor after another, one diagnosis after another, fix something, something else breaks.
Of course. Well, that's the, because that's, and if anyone out there is experiencing that where it moves around, that's exactly what the this TMS and mind-body issues will do, because you're not dealing with the root cause. You know, if you have a bulging disc, which by the way does not cause pain, and you get that surgically dealt with, there is a good chance that by the power of suggestion and by your nervous system moving from fight or flight to rest and repair, because you think that you've done the thing that's going to help you, there's a good chance you'll have, you know, a period of relief, maybe weeks, maybe months, and then all of a sudden you'll get like horrible migraines and you would never understand that it's just coming from the same place. That until we go back to the source and deal with what's really going on with the brain science and the nervous system and the dance and the mind-body system, people can never get well. So anyway, sorry, I'm just getting a little excited, but you
yes,
go.
Yeah. And exactly. That's exactly right. And I too have great compassion for folks that are stuck in one of these diagnoses.
Yes.
Because I know how painful they are and I know how it robs you of your life.
Yes.
And that's the real sad part of all of it.
But we're here with hope.
Here definitely with hope. So, I always kind of felt like it was something systemic. And I had my water tested at the house a couple of different times. I had my air quality tested at the house for mold a couple of different times. I tried all sorts of supplements and anti-inflammatory diets and gluten-free diets.
Yeah.
Along with the whole host of, you know, the PTs and the shoe lifts and the Chinese herbs and the, you know, pain meds and, you know, all of the Western modalities. I just really did feel like it might be systemic because of it coming and going and never really leaving me, but I never considered stress because I did not get stressed. I was a calm person.
Right. You were so perfect.
I was so damn perfect. Isn't it beautiful? yeah, perfect. Perfect, like perfectly safe and perfectly in pain.
Well, you know what's funny? That Dr. Sarno, so obviously you probably know this, that I worked directly with Dr. Sarno for many years. And what he often said is the angriest people are the people that come into his office and say, oh, well, I'm just not an angry person. And the reason that those were the angriest people is because they weren't feeling their anger. Where were they feeling their anger? Through their back, through their head, through their fibro, through their stomach. They were feeling it. They just had no idea it was anger because it was manifesting as irritable bowel disease or back pain or shoulder pain or whatever. And so it's interesting that you say I didn't get stressed because I believe you. You're not a liar. You probably did not know you were being stressed because all your stress was having ample opportunity to express itself through those 30 diagnoses.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So when I had the acute event for the second July of my life and I discovered TMS and I discovered your work, I got a Sarno book or two, I got a Steve Ozanich book, and I got your book. And it was the one that changed my life. I say this, I'm going to tear up. I feel like you have saved my life.
Aww.
I really do. I immediately started journaling. You say belief, do the work, patience and kindness. And I want to tell folks, I did not 100% believe. I mean, you know, you're going to hear people, you must 100% believe. I had doubt. But I did the work anyway, and I started to see some proof. And
that's it.
Kept me going to do more work. And then I saw more proof and, you know, on and on and on. So, you know, I didn't have it. It made a lot of sense. Again, I thought it was something systemic. It made a lot of sense to me, but some parts didn't make sense. Like, it's so physical. When you feel this,
it feels so physical.
I'm like, how could this be? But I had nothing to lose at that point. I mean, I had nothing to lose. It was surgery or a life of opioid pain medicine. And, you know, we have addiction in the family. I didn't want that. So I had nothing to lose. I had to try it.
But let me bring that conversation back to it feels so physical, because I want to just make a note of this, because I have to say it every time the conversation comes up. It is so physical. Mm. This is what people really need to get about mind-body medicine. This is not a perception of pain. This is pain. So if you have a muscle that's spasming and spasming and spasming out of control, you're going to feel a certain sensation. So the question is not the physicality of the pain. The issue at hand is why? Why is the muscle spasming? Because the muscle is spasming, but why? And when we look at it like that, what we can understand is it's spasming because the nervous system is in long-term sustained fight or flight as a result of protecting you from a predator. It's causing these muscles to spasm. So the pain is physical. And I know you know this now, but I really always want to drive this home whenever I get a chance, that just because you feel like the pain is as physical can be doesn't mean it's not generated from this brain science.
Yes. Thank you for clarifying that. Yes. And I have to remind myself of that often. You know, if a symptom still comes up, you know, obviously now I'm going immediately to what's happening in my life, what's stressing me in my life. But I do have to still remember this does hurt, and to be kind with myself because it does hurt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how did it go? So you say the belief, you had to suspend your disbelief and do the work, and then your body was your proof.
My body was my proof. And I did it pretty textbook as far as the journaling. I, you know, do the 20 minutes. I set a timer. I go to a locked room. I use pen and paper. And all of that creates a lot of safety for me.
Yeah.
The locked room, the set amount of time. Again, remember, I didn't think I had anxiety, but evidently I do, because I have to have all this set up. It's just very soothing to me to have it set up the way that works for me. And I first worked, you know, at the very beginning, I did it every single day. I worked on my lists, my three lists of past events, current stressors, and personality. But now I don't necessarily go through a list. I'm more working on present, current stressors.
Sure.
And I might get into story mode when I'm journaling. But I try to always get back to the emotions so when I find myself getting into story mode, I try to go back to emotions, like, what are my emotions around this story? And then I also try to, at the end, talk about where I'm feeling it in my body. What are my feelings? So that really the differentiation between emotions and feelings, where am I feeling it in my body? Where am I tight? It's almost always in the same place. It's almost always right in my, it's amazing I don't have hip problems, because it's almost always right across, like a girdle, right across my low hips and sacrum area. That's always where I'm just tight. And I can feel while I'm journal speaking, when I hit upon the actual thing that's really bothering me. And normally it's like 18 minutes in, right? It's never at the beginning. The 20 minute thing, you got to do it, folks, because it's not, if you're doing it for 15 minutes, you're shorting yourself, in my opinion. It's like way in, and all of a sudden I'll hit what really is bothering me. And it could be the most random ass thing that has nothing to do with even what I'm thinking I thought I felt, but all of a sudden it'll come out and my shoulders will just drop 2 or 3 inches. And I'm like, and I'll even write, there it is. And indeed, there it is for the day.
It's so funny that you say that, because Dr. Sarno, when I first met him, back when I was a patient, Dr. Sarno used to prescribe 30 minutes in the morning and 30 minutes in the evening. And I thought to myself, once I became a practitioner, no one's going to freaking do that. That's too much. And no wonder Dr. Sarno was a bit rejected in his prescription of how much journaling. I said, so I did science experiments on myself, and I would sit with my journaling and I would be like, what is the amount of time where I get uncomfortable, where I want to stop, where I push myself past it and I find something I need to find? And I found this sweet spot of 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I feel comfortable telling people they can do that.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting because I just saw something just the other day. Someone said, oh, Dr. Sarno never recommended journaling. I'm like, he did too. It was a cornerstone of what yes. his work.
You know what? I think I saw that too. And I'm so busy. I get tagged in so much stuff. I was asked to come and discuss this and I didn't, but I will try to get there.
Anyway, and then I meditate afterwards. I've absolutely fallen in love with meditation. I had tried it earlier in my life and didn't like it, but I've absolutely fallen in love with it. So even if I don't journal, I still meditate almost every day because I really
like it. So, I am such a big fan of meditation because I am the most quick acting, quick thinking, monkey minded person. And so I thought, well, meditation isn't for me. I can't do it. I won't be. And I am a perfectionist. I can't do it right. And if I can't do it right, I'm not going to do it at all and blah, blah, blah. And it's changed my life profoundly.
Mm-hmm. I just feel it's so, I like a guided meditation. I think that really helped me. You know, this fourth or fifth time that I tried it was guided instead of just free for all. That really helps me kind of keep on track. And I like to sort of feel in my body myself unwind. Like you know, sometimes yeah. I feel like, again, that girdle that's around me. Sometimes I feel like it's tied in a knot and I can feel it untie. I even have this visualization of it untying. And that just seems to just really, really help. Even if it's, 15 minutes and 5 minutes of it is actual relaxing because it took me 10 minutes to get there. That's a huge, relief in my body to just let go for that 5 minutes during the day.
So, Anne, I'm curious about your experience with resistance because this is such a flowing, beautiful story. I'm wondering, did you hit any roadblocks along the way where you were just like, I don't want to do this?
Oh, I had so much resistance. As soon as I started, and as soon as it started to really get intense as far as I was bringing up painful things from the past and my symptoms were going absolutely bonkers. I mean, they were all over the place, like all this old symptoms that I thought the old TMJ came up, the old smelling smoke thing came up, the old stomach pain came up, the old migraine stuff came up. I'm like, oh my God, this can't be good for me.
Right.
What is happening? And, you know, luckily, you know, this is talked about in both the books and some of our support Facebook forums that, you know, that is part of the process. The symptom yes. imperative is going to happen. Just keep at it. If you've got it on the run, good. And I just kept telling myself, I've got it on the run. And I would hear you, Nicole, your podcast, resistance to the process is part of the process. And I'm saying yes. to myself, resistance to the process is part of the process. And I just kept going. I mean, there was one time, I kind of almost got into a depression and I had never struggled with depression before. And I was just really, really sad, not just during journaling, but just sad. And I thought, you know, I have had trauma in my life that I have not properly grieved.
Yeah.
It is okay to grieve all during the day. It's okay to finally feel that. You know, in the olden days, when someone died or there was a tragedy, you know, we would really mourn. We would have mourners and people would collect tears in little bottles and save them because they were a tribute. And we just don't do that anymore. It's all this, let's celebrate life and, you know, man up and go forward. And that just wasn't working for me. I had done that all my life, just
right.
put on that brave
face.
That's
how we're taught.
Put on that calmness. I was absolutely taught that. And I wanted to think of myself, remember the goodest thing, I wanted to think of myself as that strong person. I wanted to, and I had judgment on feeling grief and I had judgment of feeling, you know, depression. And so I just needed to go through it. It lasted a couple of months and then it just lifted.
Oh my God. And you're giving people such a gift right now by letting us talk about this. Okay. People are so scared mm-hmm. of being stuck somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I hear this a lot that, you know, I've never been depressed before. I'm doing this work. I'm getting depressed. I'm stopping it. I'm stopping it. Obviously, I need to stop it. This is dangerous for me. After all this pain, now I'm a depressed person. You know, F that. I'm done. And I try so hard to say what you're saying. And, you know, this is why these interviews are beautiful, because I didn't have any idea you were going to say that. But what an opportunity it is, because to hear it from another person sometimes is more powerful than hearing it from me. I'm like the mom in this scenario. Like, people roll their eyes at me the way my kids, like, you know, Charlotte will come in with her foot hurting and I'll go, babe, you know, you've been through a lot lately. And she'll roll her eyes. Oh, mom, can't I just have a foot pain? You know, and so I'm the mom, and so like I'm the annoying mom, and I get it and I own it. But when it comes from a person like you who said, wow, I had a lot of trauma that I haven't grieved and it lasted for a couple months and mm-hmm. then it lifted. Yes, yes. Thank you for saying that, because that is what happens. We walk into the woods for years and years, and then one day we have this spiritual awakening and we realize, wait a second. My emotional world is involved in my physical predicament, whatever it is. And then we start to walk out. And immediately people expect two things. They expect that a 20-year walk into the woods, a 20-plus-year walk into the woods is going to be if you're going to get out in 2 weeks. And they also expect for that walk out to be painless. And I want to just allow people to embrace the wholeness of this process, which is it takes as long as it takes, and it will cycle through your body and it will hurt as much as it hurts, but you are walking toward freedom.
Very much so. And, you know, even in my physical healing, it was really interesting. It healed almost in reverse order of how it happened. So, the pain that I had the longest, or maybe was most residual, was that back pain. I think it comes from the scoliosis, and it's, for me, that's the diagnosis.
From the perception of the scoliosis.
Perception of the scoliosis. Thank you. Because that's the one I can even tell. That's the one that sticks in my mind. It was the last pain to resolve. The smelling smoke, man, that was gone almost immediately. Right. It was just an unwinding, and I had to go through all of them almost all over again. But it all unwound and unwound and unwound and honestly, I healed relationships. This is healing. The pain was almost secondary. And I know you've said,
yes,
it's the biggest, littlest
part. Yes.
And it's such a good way of phrasing it, because for me, it really was. I found myself. And I did not know myself at all. I had totally, in this pursuit of being good and pursuit of being calm and having everything under control, I had totally lost Anne. And I had totally lost her. And I totally found her again and am still finding her. Now when I have pain or just when I know I'm maybe stressed about something, and I journal on it's with a curiosity. What will I discover about myself today?
Yes.
I'm looking forward to it. The resistance is way down. Not always down, but sometimes, most of the time way down. What will I discover about myself now? Because, man, I've got layers that I had no idea. And it's fascinating when you really get in there.
What I hear you saying is the personification of leading with love and not fear. Mm. You know, because we can journal fueled by love and we can journal fueled by fear. And honestly, it's fine wherever you are. At the beginning, most people journal fueled by fear, which is totally fine. It's understandable. You've been suffering. You have all these symptoms. You're terrified your life is over forever. So of course, at the beginning, there's an urgency with which you embark on anything. But what I'm hearing, Anne, is that as you've moved through this process, you've replaced that fear with curiosity. And then it just becomes this magical journey of like, who is in there? What's up with us? Like, you know, what do we want to discover? And it's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I have done all of that. Uncovering all the emotional sides of myself was very hard for a while. I did not want to see that I am petty, jealous, insecure, envious, passionate, scared, vengeful. I did not want to see that. And it took being in so much pain that it was worth it to see that.
Love it. Love it so much.
And now that I see it, it's like anybody would be. That's the compassion I can have for myself. Yes, I grieved that. Anybody would have.
Yes, and also like maybe I'm coming from a different place because I've been doing this for so long, but when I hear you say all those words, petty, jealous, vengeful, whatever, yes, how beautiful. You're not just some like simple, boring, I just want to do good. You're like a rich, whole human being that has all those feelings. Yes, I think there's a space for all of it as long as we have the kind of humility to look at ourselves and not be defensive about it.
They live in me, but they do not define me. A couple of things during this journey that really helped me was the word and. And I know that you have a big section of this in your book, and it really spoke to me that there is room for all of these feelings and yes. more feelings, right? So you don't have to say, I feel scared, but I know that it'll work out okay.
Right, right.
The word replacing that but with and, I feel scared and I know it will be it'll work out okay. It allows both of those feelings. And that was really key for me. And I try to use it everywhere now. I try to use it, with my grandson. I try to use it in work. It's just very helpful, the word and instead of the word but.
Isn't it amazing how like just that little shift can change a whole sentence?
It changed my whole sentence. It changed how I related to people. It changed how I thought about others. I mean, one of the things that in healing, going through all these journaling and past events, I healed relationships. I healed relationships with my dead father. I healed relationships with my mother. Relationships that were, you know, quote unquote nice are now really much fuller and much more intimate.
Talk to me a little bit more about that, because I think that, yes, the physical pain that is the biggest, littlest part, which means first of all, it's the invitation into the work. And second of all, we need to get rid of it, because without your health, you have nothing and you're not interested in having rich relationships if you can't get out of bed.
Right.
So, you know, we obviously have to deal with that first, but it's always nice to go to a deeper level. I don't know how much you want to say about it, but tell me what you mean when you say you've healed relationships.
You know, when we love other humans that are also imperfect, stuff happens. I've been married 36 years. I have two adult children. I have siblings. I have a mother and a father. We get hurt by others. And when you start to feel your emotions, you realize how hurt you were by some of the past events and some of the things people say to you now. Where when I was too kind of turned off, you know, tuned out of those emotions, I didn't feel that. But once I started journaling and journal speaking and really getting in touch with my emotions, it started to bring up like, wow, I'm really got some resentment here with this adult child, right? And so I had to really investigate that and really come to some terms with that. And honestly, it helped the relationship. Instead of it being more of a relationship that is distant, it's much closer.
It's
much closer. When we are authentic and we are authentic with ourselves and authentic with others, it allows an intimacy with that person that was not there before.
100%. So do you find yourself to be one of those people, and I will not judge you if you're not, that can say, thank God for the pain, that you're glad you had it?
Absolutely. And I could not for a long time. I'm like, okay, I know I'm supposed to say, oh, thank God for the pain, but I'm not there yet. And authenticity with myself was really important in this process. When I said something to myself because I knew that I was supposed to feel that way, it always backfired. I always had a flare in some symptom. I'm like, okay, I was not authentic with my words. And so now I really am very authentic with myself. I absolutely am thankful for the pain. Absolutely.
What you said is so important, but that when you betray yourself, that is the greatest trigger for TMS out of anything. When you are not authentic, and this is something that I think it's definitely graduate level work, you know, with this stuff, because so anyone listening to this, remember, this is a success story, not a real time heal. Anne is coming from a place of having really done a lot of hard work and come to the other side in many ways. So just take it wherever you're at. But when you are inauthentic, when you say, I'm okay, but you're not okay, when another person bullies you and you don't speak up, when someone asks your opinion and you have an opinion, but you say you don't have an opinion. These are some examples of self-betrayal. That hits hard with TMS because we are desperate to be authentic with ourselves.
And that's what I found. That's when the word and really helped me. And honestly, the concept of the divided mind really helped me too, that I can feel a multiple of different ways all at one time.
Yes, yes.
And it was almost always that divided mind. If I feel all, and I've heard you talk about this too, Nicole, if I feel almost all, even if it's anger or frustration, if I feel all totally angry at somebody, that is not going to cause me pain. I mean, I'm going to be angry.
Right.
That's not, you know, I don't even have to suppress that, right? That's not being tempted to be suppressed. It's when I can see those both sides.
Yes.
And I'm very much a gray person. I you know, if you give me a personality test, I'm all over the place. It depends on my mood, right? So that is a gift and a curse because I'm almost always have a divided mind. I can almost always see the good in situations and the hard in situations, and allowing myself to have that divided mind to even though something's really good, I'm also really sad about it. Allowing that has been a real gift.
You know, it's funny. When I used to sit on the Sarno panel at NYU, we would sit on the stage. There would always be four of us. And then the room would start filling up, you know, with a couple hundred people, whoever was going to come that night. It was this big auditorium. And I remember looking around and seeing the kind of people walking through the door. And it was people... Sometimes you can tell by the way they're dressed, you know, if it was a doctor coming right from the emergency room or if it was a member of the clergy. And some people, you know, they were just in a business suit or whatever. But I remember talking to Dr. Sarno and being like, these people are all like super smart, successful people. I say, you know, why is your population? He goes, because those are the kind of people that get TMS because they're smart enough and deep enough to see both sides of something. Mm-hmm. And then they can't deal with the conflict. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you're indeed listening to this podcast, you're probably a smart cookie because it means that your mind is capable of holding two conflicting emotions at the same time. And sometimes as human beings, we don't know what to do with that.
Right. Interestingly, and this is, you know, sad but true, maybe, some of my most fearful emotions are ones that you might consider happy. Right. So some of the harder emotions for me were joy and abandonment and excitement and bravery.
Wow. So when you mean abandonment, you mean like reckless abandonment, like allowing yourself to move into a state of joy and ecstasy?
That's right. That's right. I was so locked down. You know, joy foreboding, I think, is a well-known term. And I was so locked down. And this is where I really kind of realized that I really do have some anxiety issues as well, right? So remember, I'm not a perfectionist and I don't have any anxiety.
Right.
This is really when I started working with those emotions and how fearful I was to actually fear joy, that was kind of groundbreaking for me.
Amazing, though. Such great work.
It's been 3 years. I don't journal every day, but I did journal every day for many months.
So now that we've talked about what it was like and what happened, just give us, I don't know anything about you. I want to say I saw a picture of you hiking.
Yes.
Okay. So talk to me, give us a beautiful landscape. What does your life look like now after having been bedbound with back pain, fibromyalgia, every, diagnosis in the book, you did this work. What does your life look like now?
It is, I guess from an outsider's perspective, you might say it's very much the same. I live in the same house. I've got the same job, same kids, same husband, same yard, same everything. So you might think that it's very much the same. Internally, it's completely different. The landscape is completely different. I am creative. I have fun. I move every day in ways that I enjoy. Hiking was one of them. Walking is one of them. I love to dance. And I'm not talking like formal dance like your girls do, Nicole. I'm talking like crazy, put on the rock, 80s rock and roll hair band and dance to it. When I laugh, I sometimes I'm just like, wow, that was a real laugh. It's just there bubbling. I can feel, the other day I was out walking and I had on my 80s rock and roll, and I'm like dancing and singing along as Aww. I'm walking in my neighborhood. I'm like, the neighbors have got to think I'm nutso. She's finally lost it after COVID, right? And I turned the corner and I thought of something that made me sad. And then I had tears in my eyes. I mean, the emotions are just, and I'm 58, I'm way past menopause, so it's not a roller coaster hormonally. It's just that I was feeling a lot of feelings out in my walk, and some of them were sadness and some of them were great joy.
What a gift.
What a gift.
Oh my God, I have to tell you, for most of this interview, I have like this shit eating grin on my face. Like, I'm just so happy because it's such a great example of someone who did not have it easy, who worked with even limited belief, which is so valiant to work with limited belief and still just get up and do it, who watched the proof in her own body, who began to transform, who fought resistance. You know, today is a day to celebrate for you because, man, you're doing it.
I feel very celebratory in, again, with this joy foreboding thing. And I also know that I'm like, I'm going to have a symptom flare. As soon as you brag about something, you get a symptom flare. So all of that lives inside of me still. And at least I can admit it now instead of denying it's there.
But the thing is, and this is important also for people to understand, and I say it as much as I can from my own perspective often, there is no cure for human pain. This is called being a human being. It's the human condition. We have to feel symptom flares. And honestly, I think you should reframe that word. Just you're feeling things. Mm. You know, sometimes you feel things in your heart. Sometimes you feel things in your body. I was on my bike ride yesterday. So I bike about between, like, I'd say 20 and 35 miles a day, weather permitting. It's my greatest joy. I put either a podcast or some music in my ears and I do dance on the bike and I love it. So the other day I was biking and I'm going through whatever I'm going through in my life, and my left hip in two different places, like once in my hip and one in mid thigh, started getting this pulsing pain every time I rotated the wheels. And I was like, ugh, like I don't like it. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay. And so I'm like biking along, and as I am attending to it and not liking it and not wanting it, it's starting to increase in intensity until it is literally like electric shocks every time I rotate the wheel. And I just thought to myself, man, like I took a minute, I paused. I am a product of my product. I do all the things that I tell you guys to do. I paused and I said, let it be, honey. You're going through what you're going through right now. You know, we all have our personal issues. You know, it's moving through my life. And I said, let it be. Let it be. It's with you for the ride. Maybe it's not going to be your favorite ride because you got to hang with this, but it's with you for the ride. So I would never call that a symptom flare. First of all, I've never gotten it before. But second of all, who cares? I just it was really unpleasant, to be very honest with you. And let's say the whole bike ride that I did yesterday took me like an hour and 10 minutes. I would say it came on within 20 minutes and by the 30 minute mark, because I totally allowed it. I felt comfortable with the fact that I didn't like it. I felt comfortable with the fact that this is a human life and this is part of the way I'm feeling this right now. I couldn't, I would say it reduced in like intensity by in like 10 or 15 minutes by maybe like 80%. So it was like, it felt like a light jab. And then I forgot about it. And by the end of the ride, I didn't feel it and I haven't felt it since. If we can look at human sensations that way, rather than make them into a problem, make them into something to think and worry about, and make them into something that's wrong with us, like we're broken and we need to be fixed, that's how quickly things can pass. And I think you're at that stage to be able to hear that, Anne.
I appreciate that because, and I wrote down human sensations, because I have learned that I need to be very careful with my speech to myself. Mm-hmm. About pain or symptoms and sensations, but also just, you know, careful with criticism to self, et cetera, right? Sort of that don't betray yourself.
Yeah.
You know, more work on there. I've done a lot of boundary work too. I've got adult children. I had to do a lot of boundary work for them. And I've also found that doing boundary work for yourself has helped me in that authenticity to self.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So, and boundaries are so everything.
Yeah. The only thing that boundaries are very hard for me. It's very hard for a goodist. It's very hard for someone who wants to be responsible for everybody else to do boundary work. So it was one of the last things I think that I really worked on, was realizing that I had issues with boundaries and that I was in control of those issues. The thing that made the difference for me there was really thinking of that it allows me to love my people closest to me unconditionally. Because when I put up a boundary that someone else may not be happy with, and they react in their not happy way, I get to now love them unconditionally.
Yes, that's a hard one.
And it's very hard because it's really easy to just, you know, betray yourself, do what you know they want you to do, and then they love you, and everything is great. You don't have to know that your love is unconditional until it gets difficult. And when you start putting up boundaries, sometimes it can get difficult. There's going to be pushback. But it does give you a chance to love them unconditionally.
Wow. This is like a million gold nuggets. All right. Well, Anne, I want to ask you the question I always ask to my beautiful success stories. You are looking out, Anne, over a sea of people, many of whom that could be really sad and really scared and suffering and confused. What is your advice to them?
You know, I knew you were going to ask this. So I'm like, I've got to have a winner chicken dinner at the end. And then I thought, you know what? That is just such a typical TMS thing, right? I've got to have the perfect interview with this banger of a close. And I don't have one.
You do not need one. I'm looking for whatever comes to mind.
I thank you so much, Nicole, for the work and keeping the faith of saying the same thing over and over again. I know you feel like a nagging mom, but we all need that nagging mom. We are listening to the nagging mom, even though we pretend we don't. We do hear, and it for me, it did work. I suspended the disbelief. I did it, and I kept at it, and it took a while, and it did work, and it was worth it.
Well, even though Anne thinks that she didn't have the banging advice at the end, I will say I shouldn't have even asked the question, because every single piece of advice you've given through this whole thing has been literal gold. I think that every person out there, if you are doing this work, this is such a great podcast that encapsulates so much of what I say. I mean, Anne, I don't mean to give you a gold star because I know that's dangerous with TMS people, but your understanding of this work based upon the obvious immersion that you have had into my work and into what I say and into how I do over and over, you know, say the same things because I know that people need to hear them, has truly brought you down the path. What you said about that depression thing, it's going to resonate with me for a while, because to not stop and to not put on the brakes and to just say, wow, I have had trauma that needs to be felt, mm-hmm. and allow that to be what that quote unquote depression is, rather than a reason to stop and stay stuck there. Dude, that's the work of a warrior. And mm-hmm. so I commend you for that.
It was hard. I will tell you it was hard. And as you know, it was hard because you've done it too.
Yep. I've done it all.
And worth it.
And I have been tempted many times not to give up. Cause you know, I don't have that luxury, but to really feel sorry for myself. That's where I have been tempted to really get mired in self-pity and to be like, woe is me and nothing happens good for me. And like, good, feel it. Say, wow, look at me. That's some self-pity I got going on, you know, and allow that to be the dialogue rather than to stop and stay stuck there. It's so important.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. Well, Anne, I am so glad that I stalked you and asked you to be on this podcast because it's been such a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Nicole. I appreciate that. It means a lot coming from you.
All right. Well, you keep on keeping on. Keep in touch with me so I can keep hearing how your story evolves. And for everyone else out there, I am hoping and sure that you enjoyed this interview. If you're enjoying the podcast, please do me the great favor of going over to iTunes and rating and reviewing it. It really helps people find the podcast. And until next week, this has been The Cure for Chronic Pain with me, Nicole Sachs. See you then. Bye-bye.